Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. This is Jamil Smith filling in for Brian Lehrer, and all this week we're diving a little deeper into America's foundational text, looking at politics and political action through the lens of the Constitution. My guest right now is Eljoy Williams. She's the president of the Brooklyn chapter of the NAACP and also the host of a new podcast called Sunday Civics, which teaches listeners how to actively participate in democracy. Her podcast is both empowering and practical, and I'm so happy to have Eljoy here with me now. Hey, Eljoy.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, no problem. So I'm going to start really, really simple because I've heard you say that a lot of people are embarrassed to admit this, but they don't know what civics means. What is civic action and how would you describe it?
Yeah, you know, most people have this view of what civics or civic participation is, right? Because everyone can tell you the story about, oh, well, I was either in Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, which could be, you know, part of civic engagement, or I helped my church, you know, pick up trash in the park, or I'm a good citizen because, you know, I vote. And those are, you know, all of those things are part of being civically active, but it's not civic. So there are, you know, actually three parts of civics. I think we focus mainly on the first part in terms of having civic virtues.
Right.
Are you a good citizen? Do you follow the laws? Are you good to your neighbors? Are you, you know, a good, you know, all of that. I think
right.
We put too much heavy emphasis on that. The two parts that we don't spend a lot of time on are civic knowledge and civic skills. And civic knowledge really is understanding how our government works. And then civic skills are actually putting that into practice.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, so what's the number one question then that you get about civic action, civic skills?
Well, right now, people, I'm sure everyone listening has heard this. I mean, there are commercials like all over the place. You should run for office. You know, that's the number one thing that people view as civic action nowadays is, you know, running for office, engaging with elected officials or engaging with political parties or things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But it's broader than that. Even down to the micro level, I've spent majority of my career helping to register people, doing voter registration drives and trying to engage people in self-governance, which is really at the heart of what civic education is giving you the knowledge and the skills to be participatory in our governance, right? So that
right.
government is not something that is just happening to you and politics is not something that's happening to you, but you have an active voice and an active hand in helping to direct it.
So what are people most surprised to learn as they learn about civics?
Most people are surprised to learn their power.
Ah, okay.
And you know, for those of us who have done like organizing training, you spend a lot of time talking about the basics of you as a power, your individual power as a citizen or as participating in the democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And most people are surprised about that. Most people are surprised that they should demand something or interact with elected officials in a different way and not really treat them as rock stars,
right.
But more treat them as you are an extension of this government and I need you to act on my behalf. People are surprised that they can testify at hearings.
Huh.
People are surprised.
Really?
Yes. People are surprised that legislation and policy doesn't necessarily just have to come from elected officials. And primarily, most of it doesn't. It comes from people who understand their power or people who've combined their power, be it a lobbyist or, you know, PACs or any other things, combine their power and they are exerting that power.
Mm.
So people are often surprised that they have the ability to do that.
Wow. Okay, listeners, I want to know, what was your first civic action? What was it, you know, was it when you registered to vote? Was it going to a PTA meeting? Was it attending, you know, something with your kids and showing them what civic action means, you know, what civic action looks like? Was it a protest? Call us and tell us. It's 212-433-9000. WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also call for any sort of civics question for our civics teacher today, Eljoy Williams. She's, again, the head of the Brooklyn chapter of the NAACP and the host of the podcast Sunday Civics. Eljoy, what was your first civic action?
Well, you know, I grew up a church girl.
Okay.
So in terms of that, what I talked about, that first part of civic virtue, a lot of that I was taught not only in my school. I grew up in Rosedale, Queens, and taught that in school through after-school programs, but also in church. But, you know, when I understood my power, the first time I understood my power and then used that knowledge to practically, you know, actively engage in that was in high school. I left New York to go to high school in California. And so going from a majority people of color area, like in New York City, to then go to California to Silver Valley High, I found myself sort of, you know, at a different population. And
right.
So one of my first civic actions was organizing and demanding from the school administration that we have a more diverse teaching staff. And then organizing a group that celebrated Black history and Black culture on the campus, where I had become the minority instead of, you know, being in New York City and being in Queens and being a more racially diverse area.
Right, right. Students in America learn about the government in terms of history and the three pillars of government. That's, I'm sure you learned about that at your high school. Checks and balances, whatnot. You were vocal about the idea that what's missing in our curriculums is lessons on civics and self-governance. So why do you think schools don't teach students about how to be participants in that democracy they're learning about?
Well, I think there's an and here. There was a reason why I started off the podcast. The first two episodes of the podcast talks about education. Our schools are, and our education system is often where people have their first civic action story. It can be parents noticing something wrong or something missing from their school, from their child's school, and they get it active via the PTA or do a protest or something because they're lacking something for their students. And then there's also a place where students begin to be active because it's where their mind is worked out, you know, where their mind is, right?
Yeah.
And so starting from education, we also learn that the system that we have in terms of public education is not only flawed, but it's outdated. And here's one of those aspects where it's a place where people most likely have their first civic action, and yet it is a place that is severely lacking the resources and the time and the energy to really invest in empowering students to take an active role in their self-governance. Our system spends a lot of time suppressing students, active voice and power.
Yeah, I feel like our system tells us a lot how little power we have, how overwhelming politics is, that you can't get anything done, that there's all this system that, you know, you just can't penetrate. I think like people get the wrong lessons, especially from, frankly, the people who are in power now.
And we get it from a historical standpoint, right? So you're taught government. You're taught this is, you know, the three branches. This is how things are supposed to operate. But it's disconnected from you and your power. You're taught of this is what happened in history. This is the Civil War. This is this. But there's never that integration into what say-so you have, right? And just taking the story of the founding of this country, right? Very often, and some really great, you know, government teachers teach this, and they talk about the people that had that were involved in sort of creating and establishing the country, and also fighting against the discrimination, the civil rights movement, all of that. You know, they're able to include all of that in the story. Before a lot of them, it's not. And then there's the real practical thing: we're asking teachers in schools to do so much, they don't have the time and resources to do that.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some calls for Eljoy Williams, president of the Brooklyn chapter of the NAACP and host of the podcast Sunday Civics. And in Brooklyn, you'll be first. Hello, Jamil Smith in for Brian Lehrer. We're back with Eljoy Williams, president of the Brooklyn chapter of the NAACP, talking about civics and the Constitution. So first, we wanted to go to your calls. We want to hear about your first civic actions and also hear your questions about how to get involved. First, Anne in Brooklyn, welcome to WNYC.
Oh, thank you. My first civic action was when I was 8 and I volunteered handing out leaflets for the Lindsay campaign.
Nice.
I went to a Quaker school and did protests against the Vietnam War at local courts in downtown Brooklyn. And I volunteered in the McGovern campaign when I was 11.
Wow.
See, and those stories, and it's the reason why we do this segment of what was your first civic action. I believe wholeheartedly in the power of great storytelling and oral histories. And so the more that we, you even ask the question and we get young people and adults in the habit of asking that question, it becomes normalized and it becomes people want to then create their own stories and think back to their own stories of their first civic action.
Indeed. Thank you, Anne, for the call. Kathleen in Staten Island, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. I just wanted to add a little bit onto the education piece. I'm a social studies teacher on the North Shore of Staten Island, and recently our borough president brought a number of our teachers together. There's a program that was actually started by Sandra Day O'Connor. It's an internet program called iCivics that is being brought into the schools so that children have an option to work with games. It's a games-based program to learn all the Constitution, the three branches of government, different parts of our civic and involvement in our history through games. And I also wanted to say that one of the things that we do in our school is when elected officials come in, we have our students be our ambassadors. And through that, they've shown the elected officials things that they think are needed in the school. And based on that, we've been able to get air conditioning for our auditorium. They're getting a new playground, all from the voices of the children. And then when the word comes that we got funding from the city council, the children write back to their council members and thank them. So that the children, right from the beginning, are part of the interaction.
That's so wonderful. And shout out to social studies teachers everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, my social studies teacher and my English teacher were like rock stars to me coming up. So thank you. And the program that she's mentioning, iCivics,
thank
is something
you.
That I even use in the workshops that I do for adults.
Really?
And it's a website. And those of you who are listening who are teachers or even just want those kind of resources to teach your own children or summer camps, you can go to the website and sign up for that. It's offered on the site is something I use. But what she's describing there is also action civics, right? It's engaging young people so that, yes, they have the history, but then now they can connect it to some real world examples. And one of the workshops that I do with young people, I call it I Can't Wait to Vote, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about the actions that young people can do to engage in civics, to engage in government before their right to vote kicks in, right? And that they do have a voice. You can organize and petition on cleaning up your park. You can organize and petition on how the juvenile justice system, actually, you have a voice, even though you don't have a vote yet.
Right. You don't necessarily have to get involved necessarily at the national level with politics. You can try to figure out how to get a stop sign on your block, how to make sure that the traffic light works.
Exactly.
Getting involved civically does not necessarily mean running for office or supporting a candidate, right?
Absolutely. And people they think politics, right, you know, is just about the candidate, the campaign, and the parties.
Mm-hmm.
And before you even get to that, there are actions that you can take. And more often than not, the decisions that are made about your daily life, whether or not you can have a driveway for your property is a local civic action, right? It's an engagement in going to a government office and, doing that permission. There's also, we've collectively decided in certain areas, every state doesn't have this and every locality doesn't have this. We've collectively decided that we want, to chip in terms of taxes,
right,
to have regular trash pickup. because it's like, yeah, I may keep my block clean, but I don't trust you around the corner like over there, and it could impact me, right?
Right.
So we've collectively decided, okay, we want this. Whereas in other places where my brother lives, you know, they don't want it. You know, they don't want it. They decided on their own. But those kinds of collective actions and those kinds of say-sos, that is what we have the power to do. And that's what I'm, you know, trying to be America's civics teacher here and trying to tell people about that.
Indeed. Let's go to another caller, Pam in Harriman, New Jersey. Hello, Pam.
Hi there.
Hi.
So I was telling the person on the other line that I got involved in college with the student Christian movement. Mm. And we used to hold conferences on globalization and other different issues, nuclear power and things like that. And we even had speakers like Daniel Berrigan and other activists from the liberation theology movement to come and speak. And then we did a lot of protests at GE against the nuclear issues. And then during the 80s, I was involved in the sanctuary movement with my church. Now I became a pastor, and I work on trade justice issues for the Presbyterian Church.
Wow. Thank you very much, Pam, for the call.
Wow.
I mean, your podcast is called Sunday Civics for a reason.
You talk about
the history of Sundays. You say it's historically a day of faith, restoration, and service, and that it's a day tied up with civic action. Can you talk a little bit more about what that means to you?
Yeah, certainly. And you're right. I view Sunday not just in terms of like my personal faith, but historically, right? It's been a time where people have come together. It's a day off, at least it has modernly, you know, been a day off. But also when people have come together collectively in their neighborhoods, in their communities, whether it's going to one place, whether it be a place of faith, or just coming collaboratively to talk about issues of the day and to talk about how they're going to address issues in their community. And so for me, it's a day of faith, could be. It's also a day of rest, right? And then also a day to refocus on what you're going to challenge in the next week. Mm. And so we release on Sundays because we want you to listen. We want you to learn and think about it and then think about how you're going to put it into practice.
Gotcha. I want to take a quick step back. Before you can get civically engaged, you need to know where you stand on an issue, right?
Exactly.
So you need to know, what are my values on terms of public education, in terms of reproductive justice, and what do I believe about what the government should provide via the state, how the state power should be used, and then how do you use civic action to bolster those values?
Yeah. You know, that's something really important that I teach people before they identify themselves with a particular political party. Where do you stand on the issue, particularly when it comes to before an election year? Right. So right. We're in a time right now, obviously, we're very heavily, you know, partisan and political. But there's a difference between partisanship and political ideology, I would say, because there are some. Do you fundamentally believe in public education? Do you believe that government has a responsibility to financially and policy-wise make sure that every child has either K through 12 or in some cases K through associate's degree, some people believe, right? What is your view on that?
Right.
Our healthcare debate right now, you look in lots of polls across the country, mm-hmm. people fundamentally believe that we should provide healthcare for everyone because there is a benefit. I personally believe this, right?
Right.
I believe that we have to provide healthcare for people because it is not only the greater good, but economically it makes sense because eventually I will have to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, that's right? What people don't think about.
Right. And so I would rather you have full, you know, coverage so that I don't have to pay for it and it be more expensive on the back end. But that's my belief. What is yours?
Yeah.
Right. And so before you tack on to a candidate that's coming and trying to earn your vote, you have to know your values so that when a candidate comes around, you're then matching their platform against what your values are and not just attaching yourself to the values of another candidate, because mm-hmm. they're just about winning. And believe me, I'm a consultant. Like at the end of the day, during a campaign, it's all about winning a campaign.
Right.
But you have to win the votes. And in order to win your vote, you have to know what your values are and if this candidate best represents your values. Mm-hmm. And I try to, you know, explain that to people before a candidate comes. So before another midterm election, election, before a municipal election, like here in New York City, Miami, Atlanta, you know, wherever people are having a municipal election this year, right. What are your values? What do you want to see? And then question the candidates and the campaign based upon that.
Again, this is the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Jamil Smith, filling in for Brian, and we're here with L. Joy Williams, president of the Brooklyn chapter of the NAACP and host of the new podcast, Sunday Civics. We're going to go back to the phones. Mary in Chappaqua, New York. Chappaqua, sorry.
Hello?
Yes, hello, Mary. You're on WNYC.
Hi. All right. I want to give a shout-out to a group of high school students in Scarsdale in Westchester County.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the lead organizers of the Westchester Refugee Task Force, and there's a group of high school students who formed a Students for Refugees Club that partnered with us, and they've been amazing. A couple of the things they've done, they met with a subcommittee of the Westchester County Board of Legislators to advocate for refugee resettlement in Westchester County, and they were a hit. The chair, or I guess she's the head of the Democratic caucus, Kathleen Borgia, mm-hmm. Was really impressed with these students and invited them to come and speak to this special committee of the Westchester County Board of Legislators.
Thank you.
They have done things like raise money to pay for students or for children in the refugee camps in Lebanon to go to school. Apparently, there's not enough money for these children to enroll in school. So the students do fundraising to help the children in Lebanon in the refugee camps go to school.
Yeah.
So it's not just civics for them doesn't just mean United States good citizenship, but
right.
It means world.
It's a worldwide thing. Yes. Mary, thank you for the call. Eljoy, I wanted to pivot off of that and ask you a little bit about how do you get people who are new to this country, refugees, immigrants, what have you, involved in American civics? I mean, the lessons are applicable, you know, or easy to digest when you can vote, when you have those powers of citizenship. What about people who are new to this country and don't yet have that, you know, that investment or that power to make a difference?
Well, the beautiful thing, you know, right now is, you know, one of the things that I teach is about the history of marginalized people in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And there are great lessons that Americans can learn from marginalized communities and the ethnic diversity that we have in this country, because it is their knowledge and understanding of what the promise of American citizenship, or at least even being in this country, they know, right? And the reason why they're coming here to begin with,
right?
And particularly those who are on track to become citizens, what do they have to do? They have to take a citizenship test. They have to, you know, class, you know, they have to do all of that. So it's something that they get to learn and they get to know,
mm-hmm.
right? And that they know even before coming to this country, the ideal of American citizenship is one where you have free speech, where you're able to participate in the democracy once you become, you know, a citizen. Those ideals, those virtues, and that knowledge and skills that mm-hmm. all make up civic education is one that they know very well. Just think of the history of Black Americans in this country,
right?
The reason that we have certain advancements in terms of empowering people the right to vote, empowering people's voice, is because of Black Americans in this country, right? And so without that, without the fights and the movements of marginalized people in this country, we wouldn't have a strong democracy now, or moving to a stronger democracy.
We have 1 minute left. I want to ask you quickly about the Democratic Party. I know it's only 1 minute, but basically, I want to. Some say the party needs to, you know, abandon identity politics, identity values, and pivot strictly towards economic interests and, you know, in class.
Mm.
Do you think the Democrats need to establish their value set before they can move forward with action?
No. all of that plays a role. Our identity plays a role overall. And that's actually the next episode of Sunday Civics is on identity politics.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Thank you, Eljoy Williams, president of the Brooklyn NAACP and host of the podcast Sunday Civics. Thank you for joining us today on The Brian Lehrer Show. We will see you again tomorrow morning.